Okay, today we're doing Bechorot Daf Mem. We're going to start right after the Mishnah on Lamed Tet Amud Bet. We saw yesterday, quickly, we'll just review the Mishnah. Again, we're discussing all different types of blemishes in animals. Do these create a situation of Baal Mum or not? Okay, just to break things up, I'm going to kind of do a bunch of Mishnayot, and then to take a break in the middle of the stuff that's a little less interesting, we'll get into some background stuff today about why a Baal Mum can't be a korban. Okay, we'll see two different reasonings. Okay, nifgama zoven o ha'eriyah shel nekeva b'mukdashim b'mukdashim. Right, so again, in sanctified things, if the pouch, okay, containing the genitals of the male, or the where the genitalia of the female are, or that's a mum, nifgam hazanav min ha'etzem, if it gets damaged from the bone, the tail, avalom min haperek, but not from the joints, o shirosh zanav mifatzel, okay, there's different gears, so I don't exactly how to read this, but what it seems to mean is the skin and the flesh come off and the bone is exposed in the tail. The rosh means the end, even though it sounds like the head, right? Here, the head of the tail is the end, the tip. O sheyesh basar michulia lechulia melo etzba. Or if there's an etzba, okay, we'll see exactly what an etzba is in a few minutes. If between the joints there's a length of an etzba, that's also a problem. In between the joints of the vertebrae of the tail. Amar Rabbi Elazar, nifgam velo nital, kis velo zachut. So Rabbi Elazar darshins from the Mishnah. It says damaged. Okay, here we're talking about the male pouch. If it's damaged but not removed, the assumption is if it's removed, it can actually still, you know, heal itself. Kis v'lo zachrut means the pouch itself and not the penis itself, like the pouch that it's in but not the organ. Tanya nami hachi, another braita that says very similar, nifgam v'lo nital, kis v'lo zachrut, says actually exactly the same thing. But then it continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Amashulam, ma'aseh bi'imbal echad shenitalo ze'ev v'chazar le'itano. There was a case in Imbal, most people say it's the name of a place, and there was an animal that the Ze'ev kind of took away its pouch of another animal, the Chazar Leitano, and it went back to its original strength. So there you have it, that it's not a blemish because it's a mum over. Nifgima hazanav min ha'etzim. Okay, now we'll get off on a little bit of a nice diversion away from all the details of mumim. Tana etzba shamru echav me'arba'a v'tepach shel kol adam. Okay, when they talk about an etzba, okay, now you have different fingers and each finger has a different width. Okay, we're talking about the width of the finger, not the length of the finger. When we talk about the size of a finger, the finger that they said is 1/4 of a tefach, which they understand to mean, right, a tefach is a fist, they understand to mean that because it's 1/4 of a fist, which is kind of a little wider than all of them, you know, if you take each narrow finger, that wouldn't work. So they say it's the thumb. It's actually a debate. If you look at your thumb, there's part of your thumb that's narrower and part of your thumb that's wider. And which exact part of the thumb are we referring to? But yours less so than mine. But at the top, yours is a little wider, right? You see how your thumb looks different than my thumb even. Mine is wider in the middle and narrower at the top, and yours is wider at the top. So you can see why this all became very complicated when they measure it in fingers and whose finger and what. But the question, they kind of say the average finger's width. And again, like I said, debate where exactly in the thumb, but the assumption is we mean the thumb. So now they say, lamai hilchata, for what is this relevant? For which etzba are we referring to when they said the etzba, we mean the thumb. So we're now going to have three different opinions as to which halacha this was referring to. The final one, they'll come and say, oh, it was referring to our halacha, okay, about how much space between the vertebrae and the bone. So, Amar Rabba, the first answer is, Linyan Tchelet. For Tchelet, there's a shear of an etzba, and that's what they're referring to. Ditanya, Kama Chutim Unotein, how many strings do you have, how many strands do you put into the tzitzit? Beit Shammai Amrim Arba'a, Beit Hillel Amrim Shlosha. Right, you put either 4 or 3, and then you fold them over, so you end up with 4 that's 8, or 3 that's 6. Beit Kama Tehe Meshuleshet, there's a lot of opinions about what Meshuleshet means. I'll give you the basic, which means mishuleshet is really mishul shelet, hanging down. So after you do the knot, how long is the part that's hanging down? Some people say it's how long the part that has to be wound. There's all different opinions, but we'll stick with one for right now so we get through the daf today. Beit Shammai Amrim Arba'a, Beit Hillel Amrim Shlosha. So now we have how long, let's just assume it's the interpretation, how long the strings have to hang. So it's either three fingers or four fingers. Ve'hilel omrim shlosha u'shlish. Second. Sh'hilel omrim echar me'ar b'tefach shel kol adam. Okay, he says, one second here, what is this?
The shlish that Be'hilel I'm talking about are equal to...
He says, he means three and a third, or no?
He means three breaths. Three widths.
So what's the third?
Those three doesn't mean a third.
That's why. It's not shlish. Okay, it should be v'shalosh shebeti. Okay, that's why. So it's not v'shlish, it's v'shalosh shebeti leil omrim. The three that Beit Hillel is referring to are Echad Me'arba B'Tepach Shel Kol Adam, is the width of the thumb, basically. Okay? Rav Huna Bereid, I assume they're referring only to Beit Hillel and not to Beit Shammai, because we pass in that way and they're telling you, practically speaking, this is what you need to know. So the first explanation is that when we talk about the three etzba, when we talk about the etzba is the width of a thumb, we're referring to the halacha of tzitzit and how long they need to be, the strings. Again, which part of the strings and how long is a debate, but let's just assume the part hanging down. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yoshua Amar, l'shte amot, for the two amot. Now, where do amot have etzbaot? Okay, because really, etzbaot make up a tefach, and tefachim make up amot. Okay, but it's not like... like, what do we mean for the Amma? So we're going to explain. Titna, we've seen this before. Shte Amot hayu b'Shushan Abira. When we say Shushan Abira, we don't mean the city, Shushan Abira. There was an entranceway, the Sha'ar, to the Har HaBayit on the eastern side, had a depiction of Shushan Abira. And some people say it was right there, or some people say there was a little room called Shushan HaBira, where this depiction was of Shushan HaBira, and therefore they called the room right near it. So either it was a little chamber, or it was actually on the gate itself. There were these two amot. What is an amot? Measuring sticks. There were these two measuring sticks that measured an amma, because in the Beit HaMikdash they needed all the time to be measuring different things when they built the Beit HaMikdash especially. Echad al kerem mizrachit tzvonit, ve'echad al kerem mizrachit romit, one on the northern side of the chamber, one on the southern side of the chamber. And all on the east side. Sha'al Karen Mizrachit Tzvonit, the one, now these were each two different amot, okay? There were two measuring sticks. They each measured an amah, but each amah was a little bit different, okay? The one in the Mizrachit Tzvonit, Haytai Yitera al Shal Moshe Chatzi Etzba. There was an assumption there was the amah of the time of Moshe, and this one was the amah of this time of Moshe plus a Chatzi Etzba, plus a half of an Etzba. And the one on the southern side there was bigger than the other ama by a half an etzba. Okay, do the math. They do the math for you. And this one, because it was a half an etzba larger than the other one, that means it was altogether a full etzba larger than the ama of Moshe. So now again, what are we referring to? When we talk about the etzba here, the each ama was larger than an ama of Moshe, was by an etzba using your thumb. Okay, either a chatzi etzba or a full etzba. Now, why on earth would you have these amot that were larger? Lama hayu achat gedola v'achat ktana? Keshayu omnim nutzlim b'ktana u'machzirin b'gdola. When the omanim would take their salary, they would take a salary as if they built, let's say they put in a piece of wood, they would charge for the wood as if it was an amah. But when they built it, they actually used an amma plus, either the half an etzba larger or the full, sorry, the half an etzba larger or the full etzba larger. Now, why was that? Shelo yavo lidei mi'ila. What would happen? Let's say the assumption is, and this goes back to Haim Efshar Letzamtzem, Uy Efshar Letzamtzem, can you be exacting or not? Assumption is you can't always be exacting. And since we're dealing with Hekdesh here, if we took money from the Beit HaMikdash and we paid them to do a piece of wood that was an amma, and they ended up it being a little smaller than an amma, what happened then? They benefited from kodshim, from the money that wasn't theirs to benefit from, because they ended up taking a little extra money for themselves. Therefore, they would say, okay, I'm giving you an amma, but they would actually give more than that in order not to get into me'ila issues and accidental misuse of consecrated property, which means that they always made a little bit less right? They took a bit of a lower salary for what they did. So now they say, tarte lamali, so that doesn't explain the why you need one that's half an etzba and one that's a full etzba. Chada de kaspa bezava, v'chada de binyana. When it came to, I give an example of wood, right? When it came to building, so there they erred by, they went by a whole etzba. But when it comes to kesef and zahav, it was much more valuable. We didn't want the omanim to lose out that much, so we made it just a little bit, a chatzi etzba. And that would hopefully solve the me'ila problem. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Okay, so that was the second answer. That when we talk about the etzba, we were talking about the etzba when we refer to this Amma measuring stick in the Beit HaMikdash. The third answer is Rav Huna bar Natan lo tasha shanina sheyesh basar ben chulia lechulia melo etzba. That when they said the etzba, it's referring to our Mishnah. Okay, new Mishnah. Ein lo beitzim o ein lo ela beitza achat. We're back to testicles. If the animal has no testicles or he has only one testicle, that's a mum. Okay, there's going to be three opinions here, and the Gemara is going to try to figure out, right, there's already a problem in this. What's the problem? Well, if it says, ein lo ela beitza achat, then it's a mum. Then obviously, if it has no beitzim, it's going to be a mum. So why do they need to say both? So based on that, they're going to reinterpret Tanakam after. Rabbi Shmuel omer, im yesh lo, and they're going to basically end up reinterpreting Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva also. Rabbi Shmuel omer, im yesh lo shnei kisim, if there's two scrotal sacks, yesh lo shnei beitzim, then we can assume that there's two beitzim. Ein lo shnei kisim, if he doesn't have two scrotal sacks, ein lo ela beitza achat, then we can assume there's only one beitza, in which case it'll be a baal mum. Rabbi Akiva omer, moshi, you can't make assumptions. Moshivo al akuzo, you put him, you place him on his rump, umim ma'ech, and then you kind of mush things around. V'im yesh beitza sofo latzeh. The concern is that maybe the testicles kind of moved away and weren't in the sack, but they were actually still there. So you kind of move things around, and if it comes out, then you know it's there. And if not, then not. And then you can assume it's a baal mum. Ma'aseh shemi'ech v'lo yatza. Now the Mishnah tells us there was a case where they kind of mushed around, and it didn't come out. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that's not a mum, right? Then that's a baal mum, and then you can shecht it. Nishchita, so they slaughtered it. When they opened up the body of the animal, they saw that the testicle was actually attached to the loins, meaning it was still there. So now what would you think at this point?
It's okay.
Well, it shouldn't be okay. Because what? Because it means the testicles were there. What did he say? Move it around and see. If the testicles don't come out, it must be they weren't there, in which case it's a move. But when they found inside the testicles were actually there, they made a mistake. Right? In other words, they thought the testicles weren't there. But then when they opened it up, they saw they actually were there. But in any case, he tir Rabbi Akiva. He says, I don't care. We shechted this beheter. This is a good example of we went by what we knew. You know, we only had what we were capable of doing. So we went by what we knew. We did it. And okay, we made it.
Why did they shecht? Oh, they shechted it.
They shechted it, meaning if it's a baal mum, you're not right. We're talking about a bechor. You can't sheft it unless it has a mum. So now it was blemish, right? They thought, because they thought it didn't have the testicle, and then they found the testicle. So he said it's okay. V'asar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, no way. Now we know the facts. You know, yes, you shechted it, but you still can't eat the meat. It's bechor and it's sanctified.
You know, in all of these cases, you had people shechting things and then finding these lost body organs afterwards. Mm-hmm. You'd think that they would have had enough experience butchering, knowing that they'd find it, that there's the possibility always that, like, there's an undescended testicle. So right. Why didn't they?
So that's know why, that? That's what's interesting here, which is that, in other words, how far do you have to go to figure out when you can't see and you don't know? You have to make decisions sometimes based on the facts that are in front of you. So that's what this is basically saying. And that's exactly the machloket, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, facts on the ground are, this is Aser. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, we based it on what we understood to be the case. We checked it out. We did whatever we could while the animal was still alive, without, you know, killing the animal or dissecting it. So, you know, based on that, we shechted a beheter, we're going to allow the meat. We'll see a bit of a more discussion with them in the Gemara, okay? And we'll see what was motivating each of them a little bit more. So the Gemara now says, Hashta ein lo ela beitza achat. Like I said, they're going to say, what? If ein lo ela beitza achat amar ta havimuma, ein lo klal mibayev, if it doesn't have it all, you're going to even have to say. So therefore, they say chisur machaser v'hachi katani. Again, the Mishnah is missing words, and this is really how it should read. Ein lo shtei beitzim b'shtei kisim ela b'kis echad. If it doesn't have, okay, so now, doesn't have two beitzim in two sacks, ela b'kis echad, but it has in one sack two testicles. Inami, okay, that would be a mum. Inami, this is Tanakama. Shtei kisim ubeitza achat, if you have two kisim, two sacks, with one beitza. Sorry, I did this wrong, because that's the case. Shtei kisim ubeitza, oh, right, sorry. Or it has two sacks, but only one beitza. Hare zemum. Those are both mumim. How do they read that into the words? Ein lo beitzim o ein lo ela beitza achat. It means, right, ein lo beitzim means he doesn't have beitzim in two different sacks, but they're all in one sack. You follow? Ein lo beitzim doesn't mean he doesn't have any beitzim. It means he doesn't have them each in their own sack. And then ein lo ela beitza achat means two kisim with one beitza. Rabbi Yishmael, so those are both going to be mumim according to Tanakama. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, yesh lo shnei kisim, okay, against, according to Tanakama, you could have shnei kisim with one beitza. He says, if yesh lo shnei kisim, biyadua sheyesh lo shnei beitzim. He assumes, against Rabbi Akiva also, that, against both of them, that what? As soon as you have two sacks, there's an assumption, okay, maybe this is what you were saying, Shari, based on what we know, there must be two testicles even if you don't see them. Eilo ela kis echad, if you only have one kis, I don't care whether there's two testicles in that one kis, it's kemisha eilo ela beitzacha. One sack means we're viewing you as if there's only one testicle. Both of those are going to be problematic, right? Kemisha eilo ela beitzacha dami. He's like someone who only has one. Ba'ata Rabbi Akiva lemeimer, and comes Rabbi Akiva and he says, biyadua lo amrina. We don't go by assumptions, what we can assume is to be the case. Ela moshivo ala kuzeo mima'ech. Even though this case happened where it wasn't the case, he assumes that if you nudge around there, you should be able to get it out, and therefore we don't need to make assumptions that everything's, he's kind of being makel here, right? Instead of just assuming there must only be one, no, you can play around there and see if you can actually get it to come out. So now we're going to have a braita about this. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Okay, there's different gersaot, whether it means piran or para, maybe. Piran would be a place. Para would be a cow. The problem with saying it's a para, if you have that nusach, well, we're talking about male testicles and a para is female. So you'd have to say it was a par and not a para. Okay, even though a lot of the nusachot say para. But it really must mean a par. There are some nusachot that have para. Anyway, whatever it is, it's obvious what the case is about. Shalbet Menachem was the name of the guy whose house it was. Shemi'ech velo yatza. Okay, they didn't find the testicle. V'nishchita v'nimtzei tvuka b'ksalim. That's the exact case we saw in our mission. V'yitir Rabbi Akiva. We just get a few more details about the case, whose it was, where it was. V'yitir Rabbi Akiva v'asar Rabbi Yochanan Benuri. So now we're going to see a conversation that went on between them. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva lo Rabbi Yochanan Benuri. Ab matay tamachalem amanan shel Yisrael. You're causing a loss of money to all these people, right? What's he concerned about? We've seen this case before where we want to try not to be, you know, throw away unnecessary items that belong to people. You know, you're basically causing people a great financial loss. Amarlo Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Akiva, Matay atam achil Yisrael nevelot, right? You're causing the Jewish people to eat nevelas. So now the Gemara says, Lav mishachach shachte, what do you mean, nevelo? Didn't they slaughter it? A nevela is when the animal dies on its own. Ela trefot. What they meant to say was trefot. So then they say, lo iser trefot who? This isn't iser trefa either. Why are you using the term trefot? Ela ab matay atam achil Yisrael kodeshim b'chutz. It must be that he said to him, right, they keep changing the nusach, it must be that he said to him, you know, until when do you keep causing the Jews to eat kodshim outside, meaning in a way that they're not allowed to eat it? Because again, if it was a bechor, it would have to be sacrificed in the Beit HaMikdash. I think the assumption is when he said nevelot, he used the term loosely, just like we say food is treif, it's not treif. Treif is a particular case where the animal's about to die. It was just a term they used to say, you're feeding non-kosher food to the people. Okay, so that's the argument between them.
You have to hope they're squeezing the bull's testicles after they're dead. Like, I want to know who gets to do that.
No, but they were actually, they did, according to Rabbi Akiva, they did it when he was alive.
Whose job was that?
Right, and what was the reaction of the bull when he did it? Okay, I assume they did it gently. Okay, Baal Chamesh Raglayim, O She'en Lo Ela Shalosh. Okay, what if it has five legs or three? If you remember, we learned this in Trefas. This would be a Trefa if you have an extra leg. So if it had five legs or was missing one, V'sheraglav Klutot Kishel Chamor, if its hooves were not split, right, but they were whole, like a donkey, V'shchol V'ksol. Okay, so what is shchol and ksol? Ezu shchol shenishmita yirecho, a dislocated thigh. Uksol she'achat miyirechaim vohod. Ksol is where the legs are different lengths. Amarapuna. So those are all mumi. Lo shanu ela shechaser v'yater b'yad. We're only referring to if it was had an extra or missing one of its front legs. Aval baregel, but in its hind legs, trefa nami havi. It would also be a trefa, if you remember. So we saw this with a trefa. It was only a problem if it had an extra. It was missing a leg in the back, not in the front legs. Dechol yet, and here it's not saying it's not a balmum. He's just saying it's also a trefa. Dechol yatir kinetul dami. Because if you have an extra one, it's as if it was removed, and being removed would make the animal a trefa if it was a hind leg. Amar papa. Lo tema, now when we talk about the hooves, we said they have to be klutot like a chamor. They have to be, right, not split. That would be a mum. Lo tema de agilan velo sadikan. Ela kevan de agilan af agav de sadikan. There's two things about a chamor. Number one, they're rounded, whereas the hooves of a kosher animal are not rounded. They're more like oval shape. And they're also not split. So now they're going to say, don't say if they're rounded but they're not split that it's not a problem. Ela kevand agilan af agav de sadikan. Even if they're rounded, they could be rounded and split, and that would also be a mum. Okay, it's not that they have to be 100% like the donkey. The donkey has two issues. Number one, they're not split, they're whole. And number two, they're rounded. So here we're going to say even if they're rounded and split, it would still be a mum. V'ashchol v'aksol, tanu rabbanan, ezu ksol ve'ezu shchol, shchol shenishmita yirecho, ksol sheraglo achat b'toch hakesel v'raglo achat al gav hakesel. Okay, so shchol is, it was removed, right, dislocated, the thigh, and ksol is that one leg, one thigh is in the loin, and one is above the loin. Okay, which basically means they're going to be different lengths. This is just like our Mishnah. Tana, another braita about mumim, one of them is going to match one of ours, and one of them is going to match a different one we saw in the Mishnah. Hasarua v'akalut, these are the ones mentioned. Sarua is shenishtarbev lo yirecho, that means one is longer than the other. And kalut, sheraglav klutot kashal chamor or kashal sus, right, that they're not split. New Mishnah. Nishbar etzem yado v'etzem raglo, afa pi she'eno nikar. Okay, if its front leg was broken or the back leg was broken, even though you can't see, right? We all know if you break a bone, you don't see it. You need x-rays to see it, right? So even though it's not noticeable, which we're going to have to ask, what do you mean it's not noticeable? Didn't we say the mumim have to be bigaloi, have to be noticeable? So a broken leg and a broken arm, right, or foreleg and back leg would be a mum. Elu mana ila biyavne v'hodulo. These are ones that ila, that's kind of said in Yavne, and the rabbis agreed with him. V'od shlosha osif. But then Ela added another three, which we're going to see the rabbis didn't agree with him. Amru lo, lo shamanu. They said, we never heard about these three. We don't yet know what these three are. Okay, but they said, we never heard about these three being mumim. It sounds like trefa, right, where they had masorot about what was a mum and what wasn't. Ela et elu. We only have the ones that we have and not these. What are the ones that he said? Shagalgal eno agol. It's not going to be clear. We're going to see this later. What part of the eye are we talking about is rounded? Kishel adam. Okay, and it's, our eyes are round, but not the animal's eyes are not round. So therefore, if its eyes were round like adam, that would be a mum according to Ela. Upiv domek kishel chazir. We'll see soon what that means, but the mouth looked like a pig's mouth. Vishenital rov hamidaber b'lishono. The part that, okay, your tongue has two parts, one that's mostly in your mouth and one that moves around more, you know, the inner part and then the outer part that moves around more, right, that's not attached at the bottom, that's the part that helps you to speak. So if you lose, if it's missing most of the part that is the part that the animal speaks with, that would be a mum. So these three things he said was a mum, and the rabbis didn't agree with him in Yavne. But Beit Din Shalach Harehem Amru Hareze Mum. But a later Beit Din, the next round of Batei Din that came up, you know, the next group of rabbis that became the Beit Din, they actually agree with him. And based on this, the Rambam paskins like Ila. Okay, even though the first rabbis, based on concept in halacha that we call halacha kevatrai, we paskin like the later ones. So if the later Beit Din agree with him, we're going to paskin this way. So now the Gemara says, Eino nikar mikave muma. If it's not noticeable, so why would it be a mum? Amar Papa, Eino nikar machmat atzmo, aval nikar machmat melacha. It's not noticeable if you look at the animal. But if he tries to do work, if the animal's standing, you can't tell. But if he's moving or trying to work, you can see the animal can't actually function, right? Because one of its legs doesn't work. So therefore, that's noticeable. Mumim elu mina ila. Lememra delav hainu orche. So this means to say that the things that he mentioned are not generally typical of an animal, right? Galgale no agol kashel adam. That's the specific one they're going to talk about now. Uriminu, this contradicts another source that we have. Hamapelet min behema v'chayavaof, that very strange case where a woman miscarries something that has a resemblance to an animal. Bein tmeim, bein torim, whether it's kosher animal, non-kosher animal. Im zachar, if it was male, the fetus, teshev lezachar. Im nekeva, teshev lenekeva. If it was female, then she waits the, remember there's the Yemei Tahara and the Yemei Tum'ah, right? The 7 days, or four, 7 days she gives birth to a male, 14 days for a female are Tme'im blood. Then the upcoming 33 days for a male or 66 days for a female are going to be Dam Tohar, which means she's Tehora. Okay? According to the Torah law, not what we paskin today, but according to Torah law, she's Tehora. She can be with her husband all that time. Okay? So, now, what if Eino Yodua, right? What if he can't tell whether the fetus was male or female? Teshev lezachar u nekeva devre avimer. She has to be machmir in both directions. What does that mean? It means that she has to wait 14 days of Dam Tuma, and then until from there till day 40, which would have been the Dam Tohar for a male, any blood she sees is Dam Tohar. Again, what does it mean? It means she's permitted to her husband, but she can't go to the Mikdash yet. But then the 40, from day 40 to 80, that's going to be, if she sees blood, it's dam tameh. She's forbidden to her husband because she no longer has, right? She has to be machmir in both directions. According to the Zahar, that would only be dam tohar, wouldn't be anymore past day 40. So she has to be machmir in all directions. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So this is what Rabbi Meir says. But Ama Rabba Bar Rachanan, Rabbi Yochanan, my time into Rabbi Meir, why does he paskin this way? In other words, being that she was mapelet, something that looked like an animal, why would we treat it like it was human? Ho'il v'galgal eino agol kashel adam. So Rabbi Bar Rachanan says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the reason for Rabbi Meir was because the eye was like an adam, so it looked there. Since the animal's eye looks like an adam's eye, therefore, even though the rest of it looks like an animal, since the eye of an animal looks like the eye of a person, which means it's round, which then again goes against, right, Ela, who said, Galgal eino agol kishel adam would be a mum, right, that's atypical. Here it seems to say it's typical. So Amar Rav Yosef lo kasha, haba uchma, haba chivara. One is talking about the black part, and one is talking about the round part. The white part, okay? Machloka between the poskim, Meiri versus Ramban, about whether the black, according to the Meiri, is generally round while the white is elongated. According to Rashi, it's the reverse. The white part is round and the black is elongated. According to Rashi, there's a different girsa, and it said habitzire, not be'uchma, not be'chivara, the white, it means habitzire, which means the eye socket, the whole eye socket is elongated generally in the animal. Okay? So those are all different ways of looking at this eye thing. Upiv domeka shel chazir. Amara papa, lo tema dishapid upahus. Don't say it has to be, and that's what makes it shel chazir. Don't say it has to be pointed and the lip is number one pointed, although some people have a different interpretation of shapid, but it sounds like a shipud, right, which is pointy. Or parus, where the upper lip overlaps the bottom lip. Ela kevan de parus apagav de lo shapid. It could just be that the upper lip overlaps. That's enough to say. It doesn't need to also be pointy. V'shenital rova mitaber shabalishano matniti mani. So who does our Mishnah refer to? Now we're going to see it only follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda d'tanya ve'etshenital rova lashon. Rabbi Yehuda omer rov hamitaber shalishano. So Tanakama says the majority of the tongue, and Rabbi Yehuda says only the majority of the part that you speak with. New Mishnah. Here we're going to connect with this previous Mishnah. There was a case where the lower lip was odef al ha'alyon. We were talking about the upper lip being jutting out. Here, there was the lower jaw really came out farther than the upper jaw. B'sha'al Rabban Gamliel. Later, we're going to see it's probably Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, because we're going to see a braita that says it. That's why there's all these letters there. L'chachamim v'amru hareze mum. Okay, they said this is a mum. Okay, even though they didn't agree with Ela that if the upper jaw protruded, but they did agree with him they did think it was a mum if the lower jaw. So now they say my tana de katani umase. Who's the tana who says this? Mishum ditnan piv domel chazir uplige rabbanan alei to Rabbi Ela. The word Ela is missing here. Bekamrinan ki plige. So now what are they trying to say? Ki plige rabbanan alei to Rabbi. When they argued with him, it was bisfato el yona odefet ala tachtona, only if the upper jaw. Aval shatachtona odefet ala el yona harezemu. Umase nami, and then they continue to say, and in fact, it was a maase. Shalechi atachton odeh palalion. Sha'al Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel lechachamim, and that's why it seems the girsa in our mission is wrong. Vamru harezemu. Aha, then they say, but wait, gabe adam hu ditnam, but by man it says. Okay, and now we're going to compare the mum, right, mum by a kohen to mum by an animal. Because again, a kohen who has a mum can't go into the mikdash, can't do the avoda. Titnan sfato elyona udefet ala tachtona, osha tachtona udefet ala elyona. Here it talks about in a person, a mum would be if his upper jaw or his lower jaw protrudes. Hareze mum gabe adam. Now what do you see? Right, gabe adam udechtiv ish ish mizer aron. Ish shaveh b'zaro shel aron. It has to be just like the zera of Aaron, which means we're going to be more inclusive, you know, more things are going to be cause it to be a baal mum. But it seems to infer aval b'behema lo. So how can you say that the rabbis agree with this lower jaw protruding when it seems clear that the whole issue of the jaw is only an issue by man and not by animals? So Amar Papa, lo kasha. Had to eat by etzim, had to late by etzim. It depends whether there was a bone there or not. If there was a bone, then we're going to say, right, it's even a mum by behema. In other words, if the bone was jutting out, then it's a problem. But if it's just that the jaw was jutting out, but without the bone jutting out, then it's not going to be a mum by behema and only a mum for adam. Okay, I'm going to take a break here, and I want to look at some ta'amei ha-mitzvot about this whole thing of mum, just to kind of break it up a little and get to background about this. So if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, who's always the greatest, you know, the good place to go, because he always gives Mishor Shea Mitzvah. What's the reason for the mitzvah? So when it says the Korban has to be Tamim, he explains, right, before I even start with him, what's the obvious? Well, the obvious would be to say we're bringing something before God. It has to be perfect, right? Anything you bring before God should be perfect, because if we want God to accept it, then, right, we want it to be perfect. God we think of as perfection, and therefore it's not appropriate to bring anything less than perfection before God. That's what I think, you know, the obvious would be, and many Mefarshim explain that way. But the Sefer HaChinuch, and which is one of the classic, it goes with his whole shita about Acharei HaPeulot Nimshachim HaLevavot, that the Sefer HaChinuch says this in many, many mitzvot, that the whole idea of mitzvot is to do actions, and if you do the actions, eventually your heart will follow your actions, right? That even if you don't feel something or, you know, do it, and once you do it, it'll cause you to feel connected. And so here he says, connects it with here, Shoresh HaMitzvah. Okay, we're in Resh Samach Vav, in Parshat Emor. Shoresh HaMitzvah Nigle, Mashik Damnu Lamala, like I said already, Binyan Korbanot, Al Tzad HaPshat, Shehem Le'orer U'Lechavem Machshevet B'nei Ish Al Hashem Baruch Hu. Okay, not Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not for God, it's for us. Okay? So that we have the proper thoughts. Ki Adam mitpa'el b'koch ma'asav. Man acts based on, right? He functions based on his ma'asim. His ma'asim affect him. Ba'al kein ra'oi al kol panim liot ha-korban b'li mum. And that's why the korban needs to be without a mum. Ki mizimot ben adam lo yanuchu v'lo yitpashtu b'mina pachot kemo b'chashuv. If we want this act that man is doing to affect him or her, then it has to be done with something of importance. If it's done with something of importance, then the actions of that person are going to be much less than if it was done with something important. And if the actions are less, it's going to have less effect on the person. Ki alevavot yit'oreru, and here he goes to the levavot, yit'oreru b'chashuvu b'shalem b'mino yoter, v'zeh davar yadua l'chorevim. So he connects it with that, and that obviously the, right, these are the two different options which you see many times. You can do the same thing about tefillah. Is it for God, that God accept our tefillah, or is it for us, that we need to self-reflect, like Rav Shimshon Rapal Hirsch says. And then when it comes to that a Kohen Balmun can't work, so he says, maybe that wasn't where I wanted to say. Shelo yikanes Balmun behechal. Is this where he said it? Where did I see it? I lost what I wanted to say. Okay, then he brings up in Resh Tzadichet that a Balmum can't go into the Hechal. It's in the same parsha, but in the Lota says. He says, Mishorsha mitzvah lahagdil kvod habayit bahadro. It's to make, you know, the Beit HaMikdash should be a glorious place, which sounds like he's going toward the other direction. That it's all about the Beit HaMikdash being this place, but then he goes back and he says, Al kein ein ra'oi lavo sham Balmum, ki hu makom ha-shlimut, eino bedin la'amod sham misha yesh bo shum chisaron, וכבר כתבתי למעלה הרבה פעמים שהתועלת הנמצא לנו בהגדילנו מעלת הבית הקדוש בתפארתו. In other words, what does he say? The house has to be, the Beit HaMikdash has to be a perfect place, a place of perfection. But again, he says, it's all for the reasons I said before. Because it's a place of worship, and if people are coming to worship, they can only function, you know, worship properly, and it will only affect them. In other words, it's not a matter of what the act the person does, but how the action affects the person. So, and that can only be done in a place where there's really perfection.
And I think I'll talk quickly. Yeah. So it's human nature. They're taking a financial loss by giving this. So human nature would be to give the cheapest animal.
Right.
To give the blemished animal.
Right.
Not to keep. So I think this teaches people you have to give your best, even though it goes against human nature.
Uh-huh. And then that's also your, so then you can view it in two ways. Either one is God is more important than anything else, and therefore he gets the best. Or
we have to teach ourselves.
You have to teach ourselves that we can't be so self-centered and think about others. And when it goes to others, you have to do all the more right. It's just like the truma. You're not allowed to take the bad stuff and give that as your truma. Exactly. Okay. So back to nitty gritty. Ozen hagdi haitak fula. If you have a double ear. Amru chachamim bizman. Now we're going to see that there's two kinds of double ears you could have. Bizman shu etzem echad mum. Bizman she'ein bo etzem, eino mum. If it's God, here the assumption is etzem, they don't mean bone, they mean cartilage. If it has two separate cartilages, then it's a mum. If it doesn't have two separate cartilages, and it just sort of has two formations of an ear, but without cartilage in the other one, then that's not a mum. Some people have the reverse gear, so the Rambam has it the opposite, okay? That it's, if it has two cartilages, that's not a mum. If it has one cartilage but two ears, that's already a mum. So, big debate I had to understand this. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer, znav hagdi shehu domeh l'shel chazir. Okay, remember the chazir has like a little curly tail. So if you have a gdi that has a little curly tail like a chazir, v'she'em ba shalosh chuliot, and if it doesn't have three chuliot in the tail, harei ze mum. Sounds like she'em ba shalosh chuliot is referring to the gdi. Remember that because we're going to come back and re-explain this mishnah some other way. Tanu Rabbanan, New Brighton. Piv balum v'raglav mevulamot, if its mouth is swollen or its legs are swollen, machmat haruach eino mum, if it's from the wind, that's not a mum. Right? I assume that means like the weather. Sometimes your body swells. Machmat ha'etzem, but if it's swollen because there's a big bone there, like a giant bone, harezem mum, then it would be a mum. I assume they don't really mean swollen, they mean protruding in this case, if it's because of the etzem. Oznav kfulot, b'chaschasot echad, if it's one cartilage, harei ze mum. B'shtei chaschasot eino mum. You'd have to say, again, the Rambam would have the opposite girsa in this part also. Rabban Gamliel omer, zanav agdi shehu domeh l'shel chazir. Amra papa, lo tema diktina. What they mean is, not just if it's small, ela dikricha, af agav da'alima. It could be that it's curly, even though it's thick. The assumption is a pig's tail is very thin. Right, thin and curly. So they're saying it doesn't have to be thin and curly in order to make it a mum. It could even be a mum if it's just curly, even if it's thick. O she'em ba shalosh chuliot. So we said it sounded like the Mishnah was talking about the zanav hagdi that doesn't have three chuliot would be a mum. So Amar Rav Huna, b'gdi shtayim harez a mum, shalosh eino mum. He says in the gdi, two is a mum, two chuliot, but three is already not a mum, which sounds like, just like the Mishnah said. B'taleh shalosh harez amum, arba eino mum. But in a lamb, three chuliot would already be a mum, and arba would not be a mum. So now they say meitive, but wait, there's a source that contradicts. Bigdi achat hareza mum, shtayim eno mum. Two already is not a mum. And what did Rav Huna say? Two in a gdi is a mum. Bitalesh shtayim hareza mum, shalosh eno mum. So what do they say? Tiyuvta de Rav Huna, right? He made a mistake. So now they say, why did he make a mistake? Rav Huna matnitin atite, or Mishnah misled him. Because is iu savar midereisha bigdi sefanami bigdi. He assumed that line v'shem b'shalosh chuliot was referring to the gdi, and that's why he said shalosh chuliot is a mum, but two is not. When really it should be two is a mum and one is not. So, but right, therefore the lohi. But in fact, it's not, because based on the brayta we could see that reisha bigdi v'sefa b'taleh. So even though our mishnah didn't say we were moving topics and we were now talking about a lamb, from the brayta we can see that that's the case, and that's what messed Rav Huna. And that's why he got confused. Rabbi Chanina ben Antuginu Somer, new Mishnah. Now we're going moving to the Yabelet. Okay, Yabelet is a wart. Etche Yabelet be'enav, I think it's be'eno, if he has a Yabelet, a wart in his eye. Vishenifgam, these are just more mumim. Vishenifgam etzem yadover aglo, he has a damaged bone in his leg, in one of his hind or front legs. Vishenifrak atzmo shapiv, if his jawbone is dislocated. Eino achat gedola ve'achat ktana, one eye large, one eye small. Oz no achat gedola ve'achat ktana, one large ear, one small ear. Bimar'e avalo b'mida. There it has to look larger, and not that it's measurably larger. If you measure and one's a centimeter bigger than the other, that's not a mum. Especially ears, right? You don't. Well, I guess in animals you actually do see them at the same time. But the point is, it has to be significantly larger, that if you look, it's very noticeable. Rabbi Yehuda omer shte beitzav achat gedola ush. He says two testicles. One is like two of the other. One is so large that it's double the size of the other. That would be a mum. Chachamim actually didn't agree with him about this. So now the Gemara says, you think Yabelet is a mum according to this? And it's Rabbi Chanina says Yabelet is a mum. Ureminu says in another source, in another Mishnah, we're going to see it soon in a few dapim. These are not allowed to shech, not in the mikdash and not outside the mikdash. Bal gerevu bal yabelet. Okay? If it has boils or warts. So it sounds like you can't shech this outside, which means it's not a mum. If it was a mum, you'd be allowed to shech it outside. But notice it's a little different, because what does it say? Well, you also can't shech it in the mikdash. So this means it's that in-between case. So we're going to get back to that. Remember where we say, it's postuling you, you can't sacrifice it, but it's not enough to allow it. So then they say, Betisbara, but how can you even say that it's not a mum? Haktiva yabelet ba'oraita. In the list of the mumin, yabelet is listed. So therefore, we have to say like this. Now, we're trying to resolve the contradiction between the Mishnah and the other Mishnah, where this Mishnah says, yabelet be'eno is a mum. That says, yabelet, you can't shech the animal based on that. And we have a pasuk in the Torah that says, yabelet is a mum. So, first answer is going to be, Ela lokashe habugufo habe'eino. The one in the Torah must be be'eino, and that's why our Mishnah was talking about. It says specifically in the Mishnah, yabele be'eino, whereas begufo is not a mum. That's what the Braita was referring to, the other Mishnah was referring to. Michte krasdama mali begufo mali be'eino. But if the Torah just says yabele, and it doesn't say yabele be'eino, where are you making this distinction? Ela lokashe hadi eat ba'etzem, hadi lake ba'etzem. It must be that there's a difference whether there's a bone or there's not a bone. So now how do we read this? Dikra di'it ba'etzem. So the pasuk was referring to where there is a bone. When there's a bone and there's a wart on the bone, you know, where there's a bone, that's going to be a mum. But the Mishnah, both the Mishnayot are referring to le'it ba'etzem. Okay? The Mishnayot are when there is no bone. And then we distinguish. Be'eino habe muma, be'gufa lo habe muma. So the Torah said for sure yabelet is a mum. But there, they're referring to where there's a bone. When we talk about the ayin, there is no bone. And there, there's a distinction between the Mishnah and, right, so then, the Mishnah is referring to be'eino, and begufo, it won't be a mum. So then they say, be'leit la etzem, begufo psula, if there's no etzem in the goof, that's going to be pasul. Hare, tiltul ba'amahu, that's just a piece of flesh. Why would we care if it has a wart on it? Titznan. Rabbi Lezer Omer ba'alei tlilin psulim ba'adam ksherim be'beima. He says if you have just skin and things on it, that's not going to be a problem in a be'ema. Ella, therefore, that's not a good answer. Ella idi be'idi be'eino. Both are the ayin, and now we go back to something we said before. Below kashi, each mishnah was talking about a different part of the ayin. Haba shachor, haba lavan. So then they say v'ha'emumim b'lavan. So, but we say there are no mumim in the lavan. That's not a part of the eye where we have mumim. Ela idi b'idi b'lavan. We have to say they're both b'lavan. V'amarish lakish lo kasha hadi ipesear hadi lepesear. Okay? If there's se'ar, then, right? Oh, sorry. It's a question. V'ha'ei mumim b'lavan. What? There's no mumim in the lavan? They say, oh no, there must be mumim in the lavan, and therefore they're both b'lavan. It's just a matter of was there a hair there or wasn't there a hair coming out of the wart. If there's a hair, that's more disgusting, and that's going to be a mumim. If there's no hair, then it's not a mumim. Okay, last part for today. Eno achat gedola. Tana, so just to review that quickly, because I went through it very fast, we had all different options about trying to figure out why the Mishnah, our Mishnah says the abelet is problematic, and the other Mishnah says the abelet is mutar. Okay? And then, actually, I didn't explain this too well, but I want to just go back to the one in the second one we explained, which was that when we said that there's a difference between the eye and the body, when we said ein shochatim in the body, what they meant is that, again, it's that in between. It's not mutar for shchita, but it is pasul lahakrava. Okay? And then that's when they said, what do you mean? It's just merely hanging flesh. Why would we say that's a problem? Okay. Last thing for today, Tana Gdola Kashal Egel Ktana Kashal Avaz. They have to say, well, give me sizes, right? I want to know sizes. Instead of measurements, again, they go by animals. Ozno Chagdola V'Rabanan Ad Kama. How big does the... Actually, we're not referring to the ozen here. We're talking about the beitzim. So Rabbi Yehuda says double the size will be a mumim. Chachamim didn't agree with him. So Rabanan Ad Kama. Tanya Acherim Mumim. Afilu Eina Lishnia Ela Kaful... Ela kaful kshera. Kipul kshera. That's why. So he says, how do we explain this? This is if it's the size of a fool, right? A little bean, then it's going to be, right? So they say, I feel ena lishnia ela kiful. If the second one is even teeny, like a fool, it's still kshera. Okay, so they basically say it doesn't really matter. It could be really teeny, and it's still going to be ksheira. It doesn't really matter the size.